Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
Graham Richardson joins me for the first time in 2022. Hi, Richo, how are you?
Hi, mate. I'm very well, thank you. I should say hello to everyone in Newcastle.
Well, you can say hello to everybody across the network because we just don't go to Newcastle here when we talk to you. We go to everybody all over the place. We're in Sydney, we're in Newcastle, we're right throughout New South Wales into southern Queensland. Do you know something? We're even in the Northern Territory now.
Are we really?
Yep.
Well, hello to Alice Springs.
and actually, that's where we are. We're broadcasting in Alice Springs.
Oh, wow. How about that?
So we're all over the place, mate.
Well, mate, you're always all over the place, let's
say. Some say I'm always all over the place, exactly. What's he doing? He doesn't know he's all over the place.
Mate, you always feed me the line, you know. So.
I do, don't I? How was your break? Did you get to have a nice break?
Yeah, terrific break. We went to Townsville and then we had a few weeks in Noosa, so it was all good. Fantastic break. And I'm back ready and willing and able and better than ever.
Well, this is an election year, and I suppose you get a little more excited in an election year because everyone keeps sort of, I suppose, ringing you to get advice and they want to talk to you about what's going to happen. I'm pleased to say we can talk to you each and every Friday as we get up to this election. One would hazard a guess. It will be in May, won't it, Graham?
Well, it will be in May. I can't imagine it being earlier now. So May is, it's 6 months off, so it should be an interesting tussle. But I think anyone who tells you they know who's going to win at the moment is kidding themselves. It is very tight, extremely tight, and I don't think anyone knows the winner.
Richard, what do you say, though, about the polls? I mean, because we talked about the polls earlier this week, the poll that came out, and we talked about that. We took callers, and they were saying, yeah, but they got it wrong last time, And I said, yes, they did. But last time, Richard, the polls leading up were 51-49, 52-48. They were really quite close. They weren't 56-44.
No, they were very tight, and when they're that tight, there's always a margin of error. And so, you know, you can't really say they get it wrong if they said someone was going to win at 51-49 and the other side win. It doesn't actually mean they got it terribly wrong. It's just a statistical blimp, really. I still have general faith in the polls. They're never perfect. They never were. But they give you a picture of what people think at the time, which is, of course, never election day itself.
What do you say when people make this comment? The Prime Minister, he'll win the election because people don't like to change governments when we're in a crisis. And this COVID-19 pandemic, it's an absolute crisis, so they won't change governments. What do you say to that?
Well, I think there's certainly some truth in that, that people are always more reluctant to change governments when there's a crisis. The question is, do the ordinary citizens think this is a crisis? My suspicion is they don't.
Right.
I think they think, you know, it's flu season. People get sick. And I think you just say, so what? I mean, we've all had a summer cold before, haven't we? I know I have. I don't think people get terribly carried away with all this. They'll make up their mind about who they're going to vote for on the real issues. That's what they always do, and that's what they'll do again.
Scott Morrison seems to be at the moment being blamed for everything. I mean, if there was a flood somewhere, it looks as though it's Scott Morrison's fault at the moment. Are you surprised by that, or would you think that, well, that's what happens come election time when people aren't happy with what has gone on leading up to it?
Well, I think the reality is he's had a few years, and you don't get to be there forever. People tire of governments, no matter how good they are. I mean, they tired of Bob Hawke, they tired of John Howard, and they were probably the two greatest post-war prime ministers. But they tired of them, and that's what happens. I've always said, if you're a leader, give yourself 6 years and then get out. If you're still popular, terrific. Don't stretch your luck.
If you're a leader, give yourself 6 years and get out. Probably good advice. And I suppose, with Scott Morrison, He's had 3 years, but he's got maybe another 3 years to go. He'd like to see another 3 years. The polls, 56-44, and Anthony Albanese is the closest he's ever been as preferred Prime Minister, just 2 points away from Scott Morrison. What does that tell you?
Well, it just looks and smells like Labor's going to win. I think just in talking around, I think the other change is that more and more people think Labor are going to win. And so that's a good sign for Anthony Albanese. I think he'd be a slight favourite at the moment. But, you know, a day is a long time in politics because it doesn't take long to make an error. And once you make one, of course, the press will play it up and you never know what will happen. But although he hasn't made too many errors, has he? He's been pretty good.
With the leaks that have come to light, from, you know, I suppose, the journalist at the press club, at the National Press Club, with those texts that have come to light, obviously there are people in the Prime Minister's ranks, in Cabinet, that, A, don't like him, don't like what's happening, and they're trying to cause problems. Can you see those problems escalating, or do you think it's just a three-day news story and it'll all die off?
No, I think once they've got to this depth, they're not going to go away, not easily and not quickly. But I would imagine that they're not kamikazes. They're sensible enough to say to themselves, well, look, we've only got a short period to an election, so we'll rally around the flag for the next 6 months, and then we'll get rid of the bugger. I think that's the kind of thing that you'll find them saying. You know, once you've got some disagreement within your ranks, you've got a problem. And, you know, as Hawke always said, if you can't govern your own party, you can't govern the country.
Okay. You having said that, my next question to you would be, is it too late for there to be a spill in the leadership of the coalition?
Yes. Yes, I think a spill now would be crazy.
Right.
They've got to run with what they've got. But if I were the senior people in the Liberal Party, I'd get a half dozen of them to go and sit in a room with the Prime Minister and say, listen, mate, you haven't been your best lately. You've got to pull your socks up. You've got to be much better than you've been over the last few months. Otherwise, we're going to lose. But I think changing him now would be foolhardy.
You have known Scott Morrison for a while. I've never met the man. I've spoken to him in an interview situation, but I've never met the man. You have always spoken highly of Scott Morrison as a person.
I think he's a great fella. I've always thought that. I'm proud to say he's a friend.
Are you surprised?
I don't vote for him, I hasten to add, but he is a friend of mine.
With having said that, are you surprised to hear all the kerfuffle that's gone on this week, that there are people trying to bring him unstuck?
Oh, this is politics. That's hardly unusual, is it? I mean, it's always the case that when you sit around a cabinet table and say there's 17 or 18 in the cabinet, you can bet your life there's at least four or five batons in the knapsacks. There's four or five with the ambition to sit in your chair. So as you look around the room, you identify who they are and you keep your eye on them firmly. You firmly fixed your eye on them and you keep your eyes on them all the time.
But what I don't understand is this. These people that are in his cabinet that are leaking these things and saying these things, I mean, it all goes to, really, the possibility that it's just another nail in the coffin. And if they lose the election, well, these people that have leaked, they've lost their cabinet post. They've lost their job. They go to the backbench.
It just shows how, well, they don't necessarily go to the backbench. They go to the front bench of opposition. But they are obviously regarding hurting Morrison as more important than their jobs, which means the divisions within the Liberal Party at the moment must be really deep. Because, I mean, I find that just plain dumb. I might hate my leader, but I'd be very nice about him if there was an election on, because you're trying to win seats. These people seem to have no regard for the way their party fares in an election, and that's not very intelligent.
Today, Peter Dutton, the Defence Minister, said Australia is prepared to send in the army to aged care homes if staff shortages worsen due to this spread of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. We've been talking about aged care this afternoon. In fact, we've been talking about aged care this week. From the stories that people are wanting to share with us on the talkback lines, aged care is just an absolute disaster in Australia at the moment.
Total mess. And there are so many nursing homes that should not exist, that where the standard of care is appalling. And for whatever reason, they managed to get licensed to continue. And that's something we have got to fix. I know we're desperate for nursing home beds, therefore people don't want to close any nursing homes, but some of them have to be closed. Some of them are offering appalling levels of care. And I'm more concerned about the inmates and their health than I am about the look of a policy.
Richo, does the blame go back to John Howard? Was he the architect of taking aged care out of government hands and privatising it?
Yeah, well, I don't think that was ever a good idea. But that's Liberal belief. I mean, you know, that's what they stand for. Less government and more private industry. That's what they stand for. So you can't blame John Howard for actually putting into practice what he preaches.
Do you think that the aged care minister, Richard Colbeck, should be sacked?
Look, I don't think he's a very good minister. Whether he should be sacked or not, I mean, that might be a bit hard, but I think there could easily be a reshuffle. There's a few of them who aren't performing brilliantly. And when you're in the Liberal Party, you've got the that advantage that as the Prime Minister, you can pick who you want. And so were I the Prime Minister, I'd have a reshuffle right about now, and I'd change a few, because in the run-up to an election, he's going to need things to go a little bit better than they are at the moment. You can't afford to be on the headlines for all the wrong reasons day after day. If you do that in an election, you must lose.
Is it too late to rearrange the deck chairs?
Look, it's very late, but I think a rearrangement would help.
Right.
I think it would look like more like he personally was in touch and on top of things. And prime ministers have to look like they know what's going on.
Anthony Albanese came out 2 days ago and said, you know, that the prime minister should sack him. All right?
Yeah.
Does it look bad for the prime minister if in the next week he does sack him? Is the prime minister thinking, well, I can't do that because Anthony Albanese has now called for me to sack him and I don't want to look like I'm doing what Anthony Albanese has asked me to do?
Well, it does put Morrison in a very difficult position. I mean, it was smart of Albanese to do it so early. Because now, if it doesn't matter if at what time, but if Colbeck gets sacked, well, when everyone will say, well, Albo called it. And that's going to be the problem that he's got. And unfortunately, this minister's in a bit of strife. I don't know the bloke, but I think he's out of his depth.
Oh, yeah. To go to that cricket match was just ridiculous. I mean, I had an email from someone the other day saying that, you know, look, you can stick your snot in the trough, your nose in the trough for a day and get away with it. But 3 days and not go to this COVID-19 Senate hearing? That was just unforgivable.
Yeah, it is unforgivable. And it's really dumb. In this era, it's not like it was in the old days where Menzies could take 6 months off to go to England and see a test series. You could say hello to there and have a great life. You can't do that now. These days, every eye is upon you. You've got 24/7 news coverage. And that means that you have to be extremely careful with the way you allocate your time. And clearly, this bloke just got no idea. I mean, if I were Morrison, I'd get rid of him, and I'd make a song and dance about getting rid of him and just say, yeah, Albo was right to call for it because this is the right decision. I'm not doing it because he called for it. But, yeah, and, you know, the bloke has let the side down. He's got to go.
Sooner he does it, the better for him, better for the future of the party leading up to this long march to the polls. We're going to enjoy it, and we enjoy talking to you every Friday. We'll let you get back to what you were doing. Thanks, Richo, for always making yourself available,
I'll
mate.
I'll be on the march with you, I promise you that.
All right, mate. Thanks, Richo. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. See you, mate. Bye-bye. That's our chat this afternoon with the one and only Graham Richardson.